The best thing about doing Adderall is it allowed me to get 100 on my last test in a linear systems math.
Coming up on Carolina Connection, some students take Adderall to help them study, but experts warn there's a health risk. Good morning, I'm George Heath.
And I'm Coldwell Charco. Also this morning, people gather in Raleigh to protest the possible end of DACA. UNC Healthcare turns to chaplains to help treat mental illness. We taste test pizzerias on Franklin Street, and it's finals week at Carolina.
I have exams back to back, so I kind of just have to plan certain days, even though they're not here yet. So like whenever time, even if that's like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, I've done it before.
From the UNC School of Media and Journalism, this is Carolina Connection. Thanks for joining us. Finals week has begun, and a lot of students are feeling the pressure of multiple projects, essays, and exams due within the span of a few days. With so much work piling on, some students are making a choice that doctors don't recommend. They're taking Adderall, the prescription medication that treats ADHD. It's often easy to get, even without a prescription, and students believe it gives them energy and helps them focus. Rachel Bridges spoke with one of those students.
The best thing about doing Adderall is it allowed me to get 100 on my last test in a linear systems math. I don't know how it did it. I guess the increased concentration and amount of time it gave me to study.
You probably don't associate drug abuse with getting a 100 on a linear systems test. But students often use smart drugs like Adderall, Ritalin, and other prescription ADHD medications to help them focus and stay awake.
Okay, so I cut the pill in half, 20 milligrams separated into 10, and I put it in this piece of paper I have folded in half, and then I crush it up and put it under the tongue.
Eric is a junior at NC State University, whose name we changed because he doesn't have a prescription for Adderall. He says he gets his from a friend who does have a prescription, and according to a 2016 Johns Hopkins study, that's how 2/3 of people obtain it.
The 10 milligram dose that I'll do at a time will probably last me around 6 hours. Probably more than that, but that's just around usually what I notice wanting to take more of it.
Wanting to take more of it is just one of the problems that comes when people use Adderall unprescribed. That's according to the director of UNC Counseling and Psychological Services, Dr. Alan O'Barr.
I mean, it's pretty addictive. It releases dopamine and blocks reuptake of dopamine in many ways very similar to cocaine. And so I would say it's equally as addictive to cocaine.
Dr. O'Barr also says that once the effects of the drug wear off, the come-down period can be difficult.
When the Adderall's gone, they're in a dopamine deficit for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, which can feel as bad or worse than depression. Using Adderall to stimulate your brain chemicals is like using a credit card to buy something that you can't afford.
On top of that, experts say in the long run, using Adderall to stay up all night isn't sustainable. Frank Allison of Student Wellness says it actually can hurt your grades and study habits.
What research tells us is that staying up really late the night before an exam and trying to cram is about the opposite thing you could do to actually form memories.
Allison says anyone with Adderall addiction or any other substance abuse problem can visit him at Student Wellness confidentially.
It's hard on your body. You'll end up paying a price for it. Typically, someone will crash and burn, so it's just not sustainable. We can sit down and talk about it and see if there's a way where we might be able to figure out how to do things a little differently.
Back at NC State, Eric says he's familiar with the come-down side effects that Dr. O'Barr mentioned.
Definitely there's a large come-down period, like the day after taking it. Even after I eventually go to sleep after taking it, I do notice the day after I'm kind of tired. And the worst thing I'd say is how sweaty it makes me, like constantly sweating in my hands and everywhere, and I just smell bad all the time.
Even with these symptoms, Eric says he still takes Adderall around 5 times a semester, that he knows plenty of others who do so as well. In Raleigh, I'm Rachel Bridges.
Some members of Congress want their colleagues to replace DACA before the year ends. That's the Obama-era policy that offers children of undocumented immigrants protection from deportation. The Trump administration announced it would end the program next March unless Congress acts. UNC officials estimate about 20 DACA recipients attend the university, and more than 27,000 recipients live in the state. Some of them gathered in Raleigh for a protest this week. Jay Siebold has more.
The sun had already fallen and given way to darkness and chilly weather by the time protesters gathered outside the Wake County Courthouse in downtown Raleigh. About 50 of them showed up, young men and women dressed in all black. It was clear from the candles they held in their hands and the somber piano music playing in the background. This wasn't a typical protest. It was a vigil.
So I ask right now that we bow our heads as we present those lost dreams.
As protest organizer Miguel Figueres spoke, demonstrators carried a large black coffin through the crowd. The word dreams sprawled on its side. A reference to the Dreamers, those protected under President Obama's Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals policy, a program the Trump administration plans to end next March. One of those Dreamers is high school junior Reyna Gutierrez.
Right now all my friends are talking about college, and I don't know if I'm going to have a possibility to go to college or drive without being worried all the time that a cop is going to pull me over.
Congressional Democrats say they want to deal with the issue this month as part of the end-of-the-year budget deal. Some Republicans want to wait until the new year to iron out a larger immigration plan, one that could include provisions for heightened border security. In Raleigh, I'm Jay Siebold.
To learn more about DACA, I met with Jason Roberts, a professor in the UNC Department of Political Science. With thousands of recipients still unsure of their future, there's no consensus in Congress about what to do next. Roberts was quick to point out that there aren't just two sides.
I think there's several elements to this. I mean, the people who tend to have a more restrictive view of immigration see this as a law and order issue, that you have individuals who came to the country illegally, and that it creates perverse incentives if we then retroactively take legal action to give those individuals legal status. What helps the eligibility of, what helps the people who are eligible for DACA is that people were brought here as minors, typically did not have a say in that themselves. It's not like a two-year-old woke up one day and decided they wanted to break the law and come to this country. They were brought by their parents. And so even the hardliners on this tend to be more sympathetic towards minors who were brought here against their will.
And is that a reason that the legislation would look more likely to pass?
Yes, that makes it probably the most popular part of any kind of a massive immigration package that you could think of. That's the part that has the most bipartisan support, I think.
Some of them have expressed interest that they would want that bill to pass by the end of the month. Do you think that's all a possibility?
It's certainly possible. It's tied up in the other things that are going on at the end of the year, primarily the battle over funding levels for fiscal year 2018 and the debt limit. This is something Democrats are the primary supporters of DACA legislation, or what used to be called the DREAM Act, and they would like to make that part of any spending deal by the end of the month. And so this is a place where they have leverage, so it is certainly possible this could happen. And there are a number of Republicans who support this as well.
That was UNC professor Jason Roberts. I spoke with him yesterday in his office in Hamilton Hall.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, 1 in 25 Americans live with serious mental illness. As one of the largest health providers in the state, UNC Healthcare is at the forefront of treating them. But with limited funds and scarce resources, UNC's Wake Brook Psychiatric Hospital is looking to some non-traditional healthcare professionals for help, El Karis reports.
Carl Clark loves his patients.
Look at here. What's up?
He works 5 days a week at Wake Brook Psychiatric Hospital in Raleigh, part of the UNC healthcare system. But Clark is not a doctor. He's a chaplain.
They'll call me around here. They give me a couple of names, the sinister minister, the clergy of emergency, or the pastor of disaster, because that's typically when they see me, you know, stepping into these moments of crisis and able to step in and provide a kind of a de-escalating presence.
Clark spends part of his time in the hospital's crisis and assessment center, but is also an integral part of the patient's spiritual care as they go forward in their treatment.
I often don't really make it a point for patients to know my faith practice. I'm just working to keep the conversation open. And the moment I may say that I'm of a tradition that they don't know anything about, they shut down.
As a growing number of patients overwhelm psychiatric hospitals and their doctors, Clark can ease the burden by giving something to patients that physicians often can't. Time.
So many disciplines have focused outcomes that they must achieve. And I believe that the chaplain is the person who can sit down and listen. Without the constraints of time and without the added responsibility of a specific outcome.
According to the World Health Organization, over a 12-month period, 27% of adults in the U.S. will experience some sort of mental health disorder. This makes the U.S. the country with the highest prevalence. Dr. Barbara Ann Bible, the director of psychiatric services at UNC in Wakebrook Hospital, said there is a great need for psychiatric care with this growing population.
So in the state of North Carolina, there's a huge lack of capacity for caring for people with serious mental illness.
The UNC healthcare system has tried to increase its capacity of psychiatric care by implementing programs such as pastoral care. But Dr. Bible says that still isn't enough.
Nationally, and again, sometimes I feel that North Carolina, or even more so in some ways, there is a huge shortage of behavioral health professionals, and that's across the board.
So this is the day room.
Clark sees the need for continued pastoral care. Along with caring for his patients, he also serves as a faculty member teaching clinical pastoral education, otherwise known as CPE. As the associate director of the CPE program, Clark teaches seminary students from Duke who want a clinical experience in bringing mental care to patients.
I have been fortunate to see, like at UNC, their support of clinical pastoral education that is not only providing staff chaplains, but supplying students to raise up the next generation of professional chaplains. But I can't tell you how many of our sister institutions don't have that discipline.
CPE has been offered for more than 50 years at Duke University Hospital and Duke Raleigh Hospital, but it's less common in other states. North Carolina is one of only a handful of states that allow pastoral counselors to become licensed mental health counselors. In Raleigh, I'm Elle Karras.
Coming up on Carolina Connection, many people use payment apps like Venmo, but some are hesitant.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Carolina Connection, UNC's student-produced radio newscast. I'm Cole Del Charco.
And I'm George Heath. Venmo, Snapcash, Google Wallet, just a few examples of payment apps that have gained a lot of popularity over the last few years. But not everyone is joining the trend, Grayson Bethel reports.
Venmo has changed the way people can pay each other. The app allows people to send money from their bank accounts to other people just by using their phones. Venmo says that in the last 12 months, it has facilitated over $30 billion worth of transactions. Junior Blake Stevens is an avid user of Venmo. He uses it for transactions with his friends and roommates instead of cash.
Me and my roommates, we pay each other for the bills. If I ever go out to eat or drink with anybody, I either get paid for paying for people or I can pay people back.
To pay someone on Venmo is easy. First, you hit the button on the top right of the screen. Then you find the person you're trying to pay, and then enter the amount and what you're paying them for, and then you click pay. Right there, I sent a dollar to my friend George Heath for helping me out with this.
Thanks.
I may have just sent George a dollar, but Venmo users can send up to $3,000 for many different reasons.
You know, from everything from paying rent, which might be $1,000 or more, to simple penny pokes to say, hey.
That was Josh Crisco, a spokesman for Venmo and a UNC graduate.
Millions of people use Venmo and that it's growing every day.
Despite its growth, some people haven't joined the payment app trend. Tori Atkins, a senior at NC State, doesn't use Venmo or other payment apps. She has one main worry about using them.
I just fear getting my information stolen
And I feel like if it was on an electronic site, that it'd be a lot easier for people to take the information like out of the database.
But Crisco says that security is a priority at Venmo.
As an app that's dealing with people's money, we take the security and privacy of the people that use Venmo very seriously. Every transaction is guarded behind our encryption technology. And if anything seems suspicious, our dedicated team of security specialists, they'll immediately jump on the case and help protect our users from fraudulent transactions.
Crisco says that users can also take steps to protect themselves, like using unique passwords and requiring an identification number to be entered before completing transactions. These security measures are designed to make sure that dollar I sent George is safe and sound. From Chapel Hill, I'm Grayson Bethel.
UNC students are heading into finals. Some are stressed, others not so much. And there are some strange things going on in the library. Rachel Britton visited House Undergraduate Library to tell us this holiday tale.
'Twas the night before finals and all through House. Not a creature was stirring. Okay, maybe there was some stirring. Actually, more than I expected. Some students were nestled in UNC libraries while visions of coffee and Wendy's danced in their heads.
Okay, so you got your Wendy's, you're all set.
With one all-nighter already capped, junior Amber Ellerby wasn't planning on taking a nap.
However long it takes for me to feel comfortable with going into tomorrow knowing what I know.
Julia, a freshman at UNC, isn't a fan of studying, but she sure does like her sleep.
I have a lot of studying to do, but I'm not planning on staying up all night.
While the undergraduate library was calm, next door there arose such a clatter. I ran over to Lenore Dining Hall to see what was the matter. A late night party with a DJ and all, and a group of seniors that were having a ball.
I'm Zach.
Sarah.
Jesse.
Nathaniel.
It is breakfast for dinner and also lots of unhealthy fried food like mozzarella sticks and a candy bar and chicken nuggets.
It was getting late and my dark circles were starting to show, so I headed to Davis to see the next show. And what to my tired eyes would appear? The preparation of a certain pre-finals tradition some students wait for all year, where students streak through the library, flying like a flash. Freshman Kayla Pfizer was ready for the dash.
I'm excited. It's like all over the internet. It's on the like Tar Heel trackers and everything. Yeah. I've been asking everybody for the entire week, like when, what night is it? What night is it? I gotta stay in the library all night so I can watch it.
What a tradition it is to mark finals as is. Crowds of students were all there as they streaked out of sight. Happy finals to all, and to all a good night. In Chapel Hill, Rachel Britton.
And if streaking's not your cup of tea, how about puppies? Reporter Kina B tells us about something else going on in the libraries that they're calling a week of balance.
The Health Science Library is all hushed tones at this time of year, with students intensely studying for the finals, but not on the fifth floor. There, in a conference room reserved for the occasion, a group of students sit cross-legged on the floor, an excited puppy going from petting hand to caressing fingers. After a few stressful days of studying, first-year Master's of Public Health student Maribel Sierra came to pet some dogs Wednesday afternoon. She says it's great to take her mind off everything.
I've been really stressed out these past several days, so I think being able to come to pet some puppies and get like a little bit of de-stressing has been really fun for me just to close off the last day of classes.
Sierra was one of many who came to pet the two dogs, Dallas and Whiskey, to help relax and prepare to face more stressful days ahead. She says dogs automatically make you relax without even thinking about it.
I think it definitely makes a difference, and I feel like you naturally just like smile when you're petting a dog, and like that just kind of relaxes your face and just relaxes you, and so I think that that helps a lot.
Melinda Tindall is Dallas's owner, and she has been bringing Dallas to the Week of Balance for 3 years now. Dallas is a Souchon, a Bichon, and Shih Tzu crossbreed, and is a certified therapy dog. She says she loves to bring Dallas with her to help students take their mind off schoolwork for a few minutes, and that the dogs are great for de-stressing.
They just love to let you take your stress and pour it out on them, and they take your mind off of what you're stressful for, and they're just fantastic at that. Dallas, sit, sit, wave bye-bye. Look at me, wave bye-bye, yes!
Tindall says Wednesday's turnout was better than she's ever experienced before, with a lot of students coming through. One of those was Nika Pritchard, also first-year Master's of Public Health student.
I have absolutely no doubt that it helps, like no doubt in my mind. Like I can almost just feel like the pressure and just like the relief that I get from interacting with you know, animals, period.
UNC Library's relaxing dog petting session attracted between 50 and 75 students eager to unwind during the last stretch before the holidays. In Chapel Hill, I'm Kinnaby.
Peyton Walker joins us now for sports. So Peyton, let's start by talking about the Tar Heel basketball team's fast start.
Well, George, things are looking pretty good so far. On Wednesday, Carolina took on the Western Carolina Catamounts, and it was all too easy for the Tar Heels. Kenny Williams scored 13 points, Luke May added 12 to the board, and freshman Jaleek Felton had a season-high 15 points, all helping Carolina put up a triple-digit score. Final was 104-61. And now for a deeper look into the team's performance this season, we bring in basketball analyst Paul Beam. Thanks for being here with us, Paul.
Yeah, no problem.
So what do you think of the guys so far this season?
I've been really impressed with the team's passing. This team moves the ball a lot more than any other Carolina team that I've ever seen. It might be because they don't really have a legitimate on-the-low-block score that they just toss into to get a bucket. I mean, Luke May's turned into that kind of guy, but like he's more of a stretch-four type guy. So I feel like because it's such a guard-heavy team, they're having to move the ball around the perimeter a lot, and that's opening up easy buckets in the paint. So I'm really impressed with the way they move the ball, and the offense, minus the Michigan State game, it's looked really good.
And hearing you mention May, let's talk about him for a bit. He earned his sixth double-double on Wednesday and has put up an unbelievable performance throughout this season. But I know a number of the players have said that this is no surprise, that they knew Luke had this kind of talent. What do you say? What are your thoughts on his stardom this year?
I'm not going to say that I'm not surprised, because it's really hard for guys to go from averaging 4 points a game to averaging 20 points per game in one season. But I will say this team is laid out in a way that plays to May's strengths. Because like I mentioned, May is really a stretch four at 6'8", and this team is very guard heavy. A lot of the lineups out there are at least going to have three guards, maybe sometimes even four with Luke May running the five. So they're going to be spread out, and that opens up opportunities down in the paint for May, and May can step out and hit threes, which opens up passing to the other big guys, because the other big guys play to May's strengths as well, because May can go in and out, but the other big guys are really right around the rim guys. Like they don't have very much of a shooting game outside of 5 feet. So the team is laid out in a way that Luke May is just set up to prosper.
Well, with a performance like this from him in combination with some other stars on the team, Barry, Williams, Pinson, what chance would you say the Tar Heels have at being back-to-back national champions?
You know, I was watching the Western Carolina game earlier today on replay, and wow, that is probably the best offensive Carolina performance I've ever seen. I just caught myself every time, it almost seemed every time Carolina was making a play, I was catching myself saying, wow, that was a great play. That was a great pass. I didn't even see that passing lane. But it's, wow. This team has all the pieces. And think about this. They're doing it without Cam Johnson, who is probably their best scorer, their best pure scorer. And when he comes back, and he'll be back for ACC play, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of work him into the rotation, because it could take him a while to get back into the groove of things. But for them to be scoring at this efficiency without their top scorer, this team is dangerous coming into March, and I think they have a really good shot. I think they're a Final Four team, and they have a really good chance at repeating.
Well, I know that's a hope that so many of us Tar Heels share. Once again, that's basketball analyst Paul Beam. Thanks so much, Paul.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to do it.
Carolina is taking a week off for the exam period, but we'll be back in action on Sunday, December 17th to take on Tennessee. That's going to do it for sports. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Peyton. Chapel Hill residents might have noticed pizza restaurants springing up fast over the past few years, with another one coming soon under Top of the Hill. Reporters El Karras and David Duchin went to Franklin Street to see how much more pizza Chapel Hill can take.
If you're like us and you've ever gone searching for a place to grab a slice of pizza on Franklin Street, you probably didn't have to look very far.
Gosh, they're all so close to each other.
I agree. It's striking how few steps we've taken from one to the next.
Some staples have been around for decades, but 3 out of 9 pizza joints on Chapel Hill's most iconic artery have sprung up in the last 2 years.
With all that pie comes a question. How different can pizza in Chapel Hill be?
We decided to take a walking tour of Franklin Street to compare five different pizza restaurants and see how they set themselves apart from each other.
Of course, we had to pace ourselves with all that eating.
I don't want to go into pizza combustion too soon.
So we decided to keep it simple with our order at each spot. Just one slice of pepperoni.
Our journey began at I Love New York Pizza, a long-standing classic joint, the kind that displays its pizza in glass cases, like model trains in a toy store window. Our first bite was greasy.
Oh God, it's dripping with grease.
Oh no.
And we appreciated the crunch of the crust. It definitely had the taste of a pizza that's been sitting out for a few hours, which for some isn't necessarily a bad thing.
If you want to get back to the basics, I Love New York Pizza is the place for you. Nothing fancy, but very familiar.
Okay, so literally just about two doors down, we already hit another pizza joint. Lots of pizza. Let's go.
And this one's new. This actually came to Franklin Street earlier this year.
It advertises that customers can get a freshly cooked pizza in under 2.5 minutes.
Plus, at Latza, you can see your pizza being made and cooked right before your eyes, much like with a burrito at Chipotle or a sandwich at Subway.
Our pizza came out quickly.
Thank you.
Piping hot and still steaming.
All right, this looks super good.
It's the best place to get a fresh and hot pizza in the least amount of time.
Latza's general manager, Chad Bully, sees that as the restaurant's strong suit.
We're going to be the freshest pizza you're going to get on Franklin Street. So that's how we kind of really separate ourselves, with the quality of the product, the fast service, and pretty much the experience.
Latza sits opposite Medici, the new restaurant that plans to open its doors to the public in January.
And rough.
I only feel slightly extra about carrying our past pizza box into the next pizza place, but... you know, c'est la vie.
We leave Latza and can see the space that will become home to Medici.
Which is currently not open. It's very much under construction. There's paper all in the windows and tape. But soon enough, it'll be another pizza place on Franklin Street.
Former Tar Heel football player Brandon Roberts is the general manager.
Obviously, there is a lot of pizza places around, but we are totally different. We are more of a sit-down restaurant as opposed to In-N-Out, you know, very quick. Our equipment, all that kind of stuff, is brought over from Italy.
Continuing our journey, we walked a couple hundred feet to our next destination and arrived at the door of Benny Capella's, which opened last year. It's the home of the famous Virginia Slice, a massive piece of pizza about as big as an adult human head.
And then just looking at how large this slice is kind of upsetting me.
The flavor was good, we thought, and the monstrous size made it the best deal yet at $5 a slice.
With three slices already in our stomachs, we left for Artisan Pizza Kitchen. After drinking some much-needed water, we received our fourth slice of the day.
And took our respective bites.
It's good. It has a really different taste from the other pizza places. I think it's the sauce. Like, it's a lot more seasoned.
This pizza was our favorite yet. It had a solid consistency and a unique flavor that tickled our taste buds. All right.
After you. Finally, it was on to Italian Pizzeria 3, or IP3, which has long been a Chapel Hill staple. Owned by two brothers from Naples, it has served pizza from its spot on West Franklin since 1980.
As for the pizza's taste?
I kind of like that crunch, though. Satisfying.
It was heavy on the cheese and grease, and leaned towards the crispy side, a good choice for someone who doesn't like a doughy pizza.
As we left the final pizza joint, our stomachs full of greasy goodness, we reflected on this extra cheesy experience.
Turns out, each place we went to actually does provide something different.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
We found that each establishment caters to different crowds and different dining styles, with variation in each pizza's preparation, flavor, and even size.
So does Franklin Street really need another pizza place? That question is still up for debate. In Chapel Hill, I'm Elkaris.
And I'm David Duchin.
Wow, well, that pizza sounds really good. I actually got a pie last night at Mellow Mushroom. Now, Cole, what do you like on your pizza?
See, I love Hawaiian pizza, which has pineapple and Canadian ham.
Oh, pineapple on pizza. I can't get on board with that, I'm afraid. And for this week, that's Carolina Connection, a production of the UNC School of Media and Journalism. Our director this week was Kina B, and our technical director was Grayson Bethel. And I'm George Heath.
And I'm Cole Del Charco. You can hear current stories and past shows by visiting our website, carolinaconnection.org. Have a great weekend.